The Internet, the final frontier.
Well, hello. On today's episode, I'll talk about my top five favorite guitarists. Colin will talk about his top 10 favorite actors. And some dude will talk about his top five favorite pies. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakinis.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 40 of Boldly Going Nowhere. I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakinis.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
We've got a bunch of great things in store for you. We've got a guest sitting in with us today. Welcome, Mr. Brian Massey.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
All right, now keep your mouth shut. All right, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Now, Brian, what podcast do you run?
I'm co-host of Two Geeks, Two Beers, and a Podcast.
And if we want to check that out, where can we find it?
You can find it on Blogspot. We are currently in the process of, you know, getting it back up and running. But yeah, we're on Blogspot. You can find us there. You can find us on Facebook at Two Geeks, Two Beers, and a Podcast.
All right. So if you're following, we can link it over. We'll link it over on the Facebook page, and we'll link that over also on our blog.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. Great. Well, before we get into today's show, which by the way, we're gonna have a bunch of lists for you. So if you like lists.
This is a good day for you.
It's a great day. I'd like to share an email I received. This is to my personal email address, but I thought it was important enough and significant enough that it warranted sharing with the rest of you guys. So I opened up my email just a little while ago, and I was excited to find that Brad's Raw Foods is going to be on the Today Show on Monday. I don't know what Brad's Raw Food is, but I open up the email and the very first thing it says is buy chips and leafy kale. And right away I know they've sent this email to the wrong person.
What is kale?
Have you guys ever tried kale? Any of you guys tried kale?
Yeah.
I used to cook it.
It's the grossest thing I've ever tasted.
I agree.
Absolutely, hands down, the grossest thing I've ever tasted.
I used to feed it to, we had an iguana.
So same here.
You fed it to an iguana?
Yeah.
So yeah, this shit is not fit for human consumption. And
it's
just
animal food.
Yeah, last semester at UMBC had this like big vegan fest thing, like out on like the on the field. You know, they had like 50 different vendors. They had some guy who was there to like save the whales. Save the whales. But I was walking around
fucking whales.
I thought, hey, it's one of those, you know, it's a festival thing, so there must be some free food. I walked around. The only free food I could find in this thing was some guy who was giving out little cups of fried kale. I was like, well, I don't know what that is, but it's free, and I'll try it. And so he hands me this little cup, or he pours it right into my hand. I eat some of this kale and immediately spit it out on the ground right in front of him. I just spit the whole thing, and then I dumped the rest of it on the ground. And I was like, you can't feed this to people. You can't seriously mean to tell me you feed this to people. And he was like, well, that's, you know, that's why you fry. You know, you put some salt on it. No. Shut it down. Sir, I want you to pack your things and leave. Make like a kale and leaf. And leave.
No, you know what?
Make like kale. You and your establishment, sir.
Make like kale and get the
hell out
of here.
Make like a tree and leave. It's make like a tree and leave. You sound like an idiot when you say it wrong.
Hey, Justin.
Got that, McFly?
Let me ask you a question. After eating that kale, did you just want to rain down like a flurry of meat on all these vegan people for making you go through that?
Well, putting aside that rain down a flurry of meat sounds really wrong. Kind of, yeah. I immediately was starting to look around, and there was some, there might have been some meat there. I think it wasn't actually called Vegan Fest, it was called Eco Fest, so I don't think it was necessarily strictly vegan or vegetarian, but oh my god, like, my mouth, I had that taste, it like instantly sucked all the saliva, all the moisture out of my mouth. It was like dry and horrible, and it just like bits of it were, So anyways, I am the last person that anyone should be marketing leafy kale to. So I open up this email from Brad's Raw Food, and they make the world's healthiest chip, by which I guess they mean the world's most disgusting chip, because it's made from kale. It's not baked, not fried. It's local, gluten-free, and vegan. Great. So
was it dehydrated?
I don't know what it is.
They made kale into chips.
Yeah, which is what the guy fed me. That's what the guy at EcoFest gave me. So I know right away. Maybe it might have even been Brad. Maybe that's why they're sending me this email. You know, maybe. It's all adding up. Maybe I like, you know, I don't know, in the heat of the moment, I signed my name on the email list trying to, I don't know why I would do that, but it's the, okay, so who is Brad? Here's his description. Okay. Meet Brad. Typical American guy, overweight, high cholesterol, low energy, didn't sleep well.
Sounds like the kind of guy I know.
Sound familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Then something remarkable happened. He decided to go on a predominantly raw food diet. He lost 40 pounds, dropped his cholesterol to a healthy level, and recovered his lost energy.
Yeah, you know why? Because he got, like, botulism, probably.
But there was something missing. He needed to put some crunch into his diet. With creative experimentation, a remarkable snack food line was born to satisfy this urge. Brad's Raw Foods.
I call BS.
All right, how much of that last paragraph sounded, like, really dirty and wrong? Creative experimentation, satisfy this urge.
Basically, you're telling me he made love to the food and then marketed it.
Yeah.
A veggie sexual, if you will.
Yeah, so Brad's Raw Food is going on a road trip to the Today Show in New York City on Monday. Watch for Brad's Raw on the Today Show with Kathy Lee and Hoda. Who's Hoda?
Who gives a shit?
In case you missed it, Hoda made a spontaneous endorsement of our kale chips on the Today. So it is kale chips on the Today Show on Thursday, November 10th. She mentions that she will be bringing in the chips on Monday, November 14th. So guess what we're gonna do? We're gonna go to New York City. Yeehaw! I added that in.
He's not actually invited onto the Today Show. He's just gonna show up.
I bet this is the same guy. We'll be standing outside the Today Show studio at 30 Rockefeller Center, handing out free samples of our products. Maybe we'll get on TV. So he's not. Okay, first of all, this is total bullshit right here. Because the title of the email is Brad's Raw on the Today Show on Monday, right? So he's like, so that would imply that they booked the Today Show, that they're actually going to guests. But then you read on and it's like, we're going to stand out front and hand out kale. Maybe we'll get on TV. Who knows what can happen? This is totally impromptu. Bullshit. Calling shenanigans on this whole thing. If you give kale to anybody there, not only will they not let you onto the Today Show, they will probably ban you from the premises.
I'm almost positive, and I could be wrong. I could. I think you're right. Not only he's gonna go to New York City, and he's gonna give kale to people who live in New York City.
Would you consider it a kale fail?
Boom, boom, ba, boom.
Yeah, so we can follow our tweets tomorrow as we'll be documenting our road trip at Twitter/Brad's Raw Chips. Should I check out their Twitter?
We'll check it out later. We'll check it out during Sean's segment.
Yeah, later.
Yeah. So here's some description of Brad's Raw Leafy Kale.
Send him the link for that.
And Brad's Raw Chips. So, Brad's Raw Leafy Kale starts out with the most nutritionally dense leafy vegetable available, fresh leafy kale. We then batter it up with some flavorful natural ingredients, including raw cashews and sunflower seeds, nutritional yeast, to give it that vegan cheese flavor.
Wait, did you just say vegan cheese flavor?
Nutritional yeast?
And add some tasty vegetables to add some zest.
I think Ben's got a question.
Yes.
Sir, does he rub it against his balls or something to get the yeast down there?
Some of that nutritional yeast. Well, here's the best part. Listen to what the flavors are of Brad's raw leafy kale.
There's variations.
There's three flavors.
Oh, Jesus.
There's three flavors. Flavor one.
is that the title? Is that the title?
Flavor one, vampire killer.
What? Garlic?
It's garlic and vegan cheese. Flavor two. Nasty hot.
What?
That would be jalapeno and vegan cheese. And finally, flavor three is naked, which is plain vegan cheese.
Ew.
Wait, that doesn't make... What the fuck is vegan cheese?
I don't know, and
vegans
I don't want to know.
Vegans don't eat cheese. That's horseshit.
Soy cheese.
No. Yeah. No.
Somebody call the vegan police.
No.
Look, if you can make soy milk, then I guess it would follow that you can make soy cheese.
Yeah. No, bullshit. You cannot make soy cheese. Cheese is milk.
All right, well, hold on.
That is the deal.
All right, well, so there's Brad's Raw Leafy Kale. You can also get Brad's Raw Chips. Brad's Raw Chips are so different than any other chip that we hate referring to them as a chip. They're actually a complete meal. Well, then don't refer to them as chips.
Refer to them by their actual, title. Shit.
You know what? I bet they're not legally allowed to refer to it by what it actually is.
Shit?
I don't know, but while many chips claim to be made from vegetables, most are primarily made from root products such as potatoes. Yes, that's why they're called potato chips. Brad's Raw Chips are made entirely from sprouted flax seeds.
I hate to interrupt again, but...
Groats. And a variety of vegetables and spices.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't a potato a vegetable?
No, it's a root. It's a tuber.
So?
It's a starch. Technically, potatoes...
Okay, fine.
Corn chips.
There's also corn chips. Corn is a grain, though, so also not a vegetable.
Fair enough.
So here's all the different flavors of Brad's Raw Chips. There's kale, red bell pepper, sweet potato, hot red bell pepper, Indian? That just seems racist.
We ground up two Native Americans
kind of
just to make this
it?
Bag of chips.
What kind
I don't
of
know.
Indian
it just says
it?
Indian. Beet. Gross. Hot kale. Cheddar.
He's hot kale.
I guess it's kale that's hot.
Wait,
and finally, cheddar. More of that vegan cheese.
No, cheddar is real cheese.
And sun-dried tomatoes.
This shit?
And sun-dried tomatoes. And then they want us to check them out on YouTube.
No, I don't want to check them out.
I'm at bradsrawchips.com.
Yeah.
And there's Brad's story, a word from Brad, and how they're made.
You know what?
Would you like me to read them?
No, actually.
It only takes up a page.
No, I'd rather you skip that and let's move on, because quite frankly, if I hear any more about vegan cheese.
Yeah, we're pretty much promoting this guy. And
I'm gonna go to New York and
right,
I'm gonna bitch slap this guy.
You what Brad looks like.
I would love
like.
To go there.
Here's what Brad looks like.
Stare
him out in the face. Stare him in the face.
Yeah. Brad,
you can
seriously.
Find his picture at bradsworldchips.com.
Yeah, you know what?
I even gave you a plug, you piece of shit.
You know what?
He looks like the hippie version of the third Doctor from Doctor Who.
Yeah.
You mean more of a hippie than he already was?
Yes, very much so.
All right, I don't care that we're giving Brad's Raw Chips a plug
we're not
on the
plugging
show.
Him. We're telling you, don't eat them.
Because if you are the type of person who would actually eat Brad's Raw Chips... Stop listening to our show. Seriously, don't.
Actually, odds are good. If you like Brad's raw chips, you're honestly kind of probably
you're dead to
of,
us.
chances are we wouldn't think much of you as a person.
If you're currently eating out of a bag of Brad's Raw Chips while listening to this show, God have mercy on your soul. And with that,
like seriously,
there's. They have Blogspot. It's called Raw Blog.
Ew.
Seriously? I swear to God. Seriously, this guy is probably going to be like, I say we put it up on the Twitter and on the blog, because he's probably going to listen to this episode. He's going to be like, hey,
he's making fun of our chips.
Nothing would make me happier if we got hate mail from Brad's Raw Chips or some of their delighted fans.
He might even show up at our door.
That'd be great.
Offering some chips.
I got a red and angry letter. Dear a-holes.
Brad, if you're out there listening right now, we'd love to have you on the show. We'd love to interview you.
Yeah, we seriously would probably just ask you what the hell you were thinking.
Yeah, we just sit. It'd be like Chris Hansen. We're just going to sit, have a seat in that chair right there.
We'll do
why
a.
Why don't you take a seat? Take a seat.
We'll
right?
do
take
a on-air taste test.
And then we'll just say, what are you doing here, Brad?
Brad.
What are you doing here, Brad?
He's all not right. that far away. He's in Pennsylvania.
Oh Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So no. Let's abort this idea as quickly as possible. Yeah.
No, right. It might be pretty hilarious.
Quick, erase all the evidence.
All right. So, let's move on with the show.
After that massive tangent.
Yeah. All right, so, time for the music segment of today's show. I'll be starting out with my top five list. So, here is my top five.
Hey, top five songs about death. Allura's Dad Tribute List.
All right, today we're doing top five guitarists. Starting out, number five, I have Steve Hackett. So I should warn you guys, there are actually three Steves on this list. That's just sort of how it worked out. There's three Steves out of five. So number one is Steve Hackett, who is a guitar player for Genesis. Also had a pretty successful, well, not mainstream successful, but I would say he had put up some pretty good solo albums on his own. Check out Voyage of the Acolyte. But check out any Genesis album pre Peter Gabriel leaving. So Peter Gabriel era Genesis.
So yeah, the good Genesis.
Yeah, especially check out his guitar solo on the song Firth of Fifth, which is one of my favorite guitar solos of all time. All right, number four, I have Joe Satriani.
Okay.
Or Satch.
Good choice.
Joe Satriani is pretty sick. I saw him perform at Ram's Head Live with Eric Johnson.
No way.
Who's also not on this list, but he was an honorable mention. Eric Johnson is most well-known for the song Cliffs of Dover. Joe Satriani, yes, most well-known probably for Surfing with the Alien.
Yeah.
Which has the Silver Surfer on the cover, mm-hmm, and has a song called Surfing with the Alien, which is one of his most badass songs. But he's got a lot. His most recent album was Super Colossal, and that was he was mostly playing songs from that. And it was pretty awesome. Joe Satriani also just looks like a badass when he's playing, because now he's completely bald. But he's one of those guys who's like embraced being bald and like totally ran with it, and it totally works for him. Mm-hmm. I saw him play the guitar with his teeth. It's pretty sweet. Joe Satriani also taught the number one person on this list, who I'll get to.
Okay.
Number three, I have Buckethead. So,
really?
Yeah, Buckethead is a weird, creepy dude, but goddamn, can he play the guitar? And he's, you know, there's songs like Jordan, which you might know, if you're a gamer out there, you might know Jordan as being the hardest song in any Guitar Hero game. With the exception of maybe Dragon Force through the fire, but Dragon Force is just fuck Dragon Force. Jordan is the hardest song that is actually worth playing.
Okay.
But they've been through the fire and the flames.
Yeah. And Jordan was on, I can't remember if that was Guitar Hero 1 or 2, but it was one of the early ones.
Yeah. And seriously, that's like not only is that like the dumbest song to play on, you know, Guitar Hero or Rock Band or any of those games, it's probably like 1/3 of the videos that are on fucking YouTube.
Which one?
The Fire and the Flames.
I seriously,
you
like,
hear that and
like literally some like 13-year-old kid is trying to rip his way through it and he's failing.
Yeah, so I tried playing Guitar Hero online over Xbox Live, and yeah, I just gave up on it because every other person wanted to play Through the Fire and Flames, and every single one of them was horrible. Like, they couldn't get, like, not like I could do that song either. But every single person
who challenged me knew you couldn't do that.
They
song.
Picked the song and they couldn't even play it. I'm like, what? And the song's like 6 or 7 minutes long, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Buckethead. Check out actually his album Population Override, because it's very, it's more jazzy, or like, you know, it's a little softer, and it won't like, it's nice. It's nice. Number two. Another Steve Howe, the guitar player for Yes, who has been with Yes, you know, pretty much as long as the band has been around. And he has played like the same guitar, Gibson ES-175, for his entire career, which is interesting because that's like considered more of a jazz guitar. But he, you know, sort of made it its own. Check out any of his solos, really. Close to the Edge.
Isn't that the guitar that you're using in your book?
That is. That is. That's why I picked it. Because it's very classic.
Put the plug in the book?
Yeah. It was made famous because Scotty Moore, the guitar player for Elvis, actually used that guitar, the ES-175.
Really?
Yeah. And that's where it famously crossed genres from jazz into rock. I would say probably one of my favorite Steve Howe solos is on Siberian Katru, which is the third song on Close to the Edge album. But also check out some of his like sort of solo songs with like Mood for a Day. It's probably his most famous one because it's just him playing. And that brings us to number one, the third Steve in our trifecta of Steves. And that would be Steve Vai.
Yes.
Definitely my favorite guitar player of all time.
Especially in Crossroads, the movie?
Yeah, he's actually in the movie Crossroads.
Is he the devil?
Yeah. With Ralph Macchio. And Steve Vai is playing, of course, I was playing all of his own stuff in that movie. Steve Vai is amazing. Like, not only is he just ridiculously skilled, he also is, like, his production is awesome. He, his, you know, work with effects, really awesome. His songwriting is awesome. So, you know, I was debating who should be higher, Joe Satriani or Steve Vai. Because Joe Satriani is, I mean, he taught the guy. He taught Steve Vai how to play, so logic would dictate that he's just as talented, if not more. But I think Satriani took, or Steve Vai took what Satriani, you know, had taught him and just really ran with it. And check out For the Love of God, because it's one of the most amazing guitar songs you will ever hear in your entire life. All right. That is my top five. Next week, I'm probably going to do top five bass guitarists.
Ooh.
So before we move on to movies, I have the other part of my music segment, readings from the Rock Snobs Dictionary. The Rock Snobs Dictionary is a book by David Camp and Stephen Daly. It is an essential lexicon of rockological knowledge. All the facts, names, places, adjectives you'll need to pass for a true rock snob. Mm. And I'm pretty excited because we will be getting an interview with David Camp sometime in the near future.
Nice.
And this guy, I mean, he's written for GQ, he's written for Vanity Fair, so it's been pretty exciting to have him on the show. Right. Nice. So what I do with this is I'm going to basically give you a random entry from the book, and you will be that much more knowledgeable.
All right.
All right, so.
First taste is free. You want the rest, go buy the book.
Exactly.
All right. Today's entry is Richard Hell. Richard Hell, Richard Hell is the charter member of the New York Punk Alliance, revered as a founding member of Television, coiner of the term Blank Generation, and inventor of the ripped clothing and electrocution hair look that Malcolm McLaren filched for the Sex Pistols. Malcolm McLaren famously opened a store which was just called Sex, which was sort of like the center of the punk scene in New York and sort of its epicenter. Mm-hmm. Departing Television after a power struggle with his childhood friend and fellow adopter of a silly name, Tom Verlaine, they grew up in Lexington, Kentucky as Richard Myers and Tom Miller and attended prep school together. Hell briefly enlisted with the New York Dolls refugee band, the Heartbreakers, before fronting his own combo, the Voidoids. Now a respected art person who publishes novels and performs poeokies, which are hybrids of poetry readings and karaoke at universities. All right, so that's a little bit of punk rock history for you.
All right.
I am not particularly a huge fan of punk rock myself, but I am familiar with Richard Hell, as he did, in fact, make that style of
if you think about it,
the safety pins and the ripped T-shirts.
Well, see, here's the thing. There's a difference between being a fan of punk rock in its early days, you know, when it was good, or, you know, being a fan of punk rock, you know, now.
Yeah. Well, what is punk rock now, anyways?
Like, I don't think punk rock really exists anymore, but, like, in the late 90s, early 2000s,
I think punk rock got replaced, sadly, by emo.
I guess.
Yes.
Emo rock claiming to be punk rock.
Right.
I might have to agree with you on that one.
Yeah. Because we all knew they were emo, but they were selling in stores under punk rock.
Right. I mean, that's a really depressing fact, but I think that's the way it is. Like, emo is the punk rock for the, you know, 20th century.
It's the bastard child of punk rock.
I mean, to be honest with you, when's the last time you ever really heard a good punk song that wasn't from, like, the 80s backwards, you know? Like, when's the last time?
Yeah.
Never.
I mean, you know, you maybe got Rancid and maybe the Misfits, and that's about it.
Yeah, I wouldn't even give them that.
But, you know.
All right. Well, consider yourself musically educated for today, and I'm going to move it over to Colin so we can talk about movies.
Okay. Well, I guess it's time for my top 10. Okay, so today's top 10 is my top 10 favorite actors. Now, mind you, this is not in my opinion who I enjoy watching on screen the most. Now, probably later on at some point, I'll be doing the top 10 best actors, i.e. the most accomplished actors.
So question, when you say actors, is that sort of actors as a general term, like male and female, or actors as male. In male, and then you'll do actresses at some point?
I don't subscribe to calling male and female males and females, actors. It's actors and actresses.
Okay.
I don't know when it became politically incorrect to call female, you know, female actors actresses. I thought that was the point. You know, that's why the word existed.
There's some debate about that, but we, you know,
go on. Once again, yeah. Anyway, so, all right, starting at number 10, and actually, it was funny, Justin was looking at this list. He was like, really? You chose him? And to be honest, most people who know me would probably find this a little odd.
Well, it's because I've been fairly vocal in the past about my dislike for this person, but...
Well, let me explain why. Okay, number 10 is Michael Cera. Now, most of people who know me, before Scott Pilgrim, I had an utter hatred for Michael Cera. I mean, I liked him the first time I saw Superbad. The first time. Yeah, the first time. And then I watched it again, and I was like, good fucking God, he's annoying.
I'm awkward, and people love me. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and then, you know, obviously Arrested Development, he was all right. I mean, he was more of a minor character in that, if really anything.
Well, he was good in Arrested Development, but that's because we hadn't all gotten used to it. Like, that was still new to us, his shtick.
Now, so obviously most people will probably be wondering, okay, well, if you hated him so much, why would he be on your list of favorite actors?
Yes, simple. What turned you around, Colin?
Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, man. That is definitely on my top 10 favorite films of all time. It is a movie that, quite frankly, I could probably watch every day and never get bored of it.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And when I found out that Michael Cera was going to cast as lead, I was like, really?
Oh, why? Yeah. Nobody, when we were walking into this movie, we were like, this movie, I don't know, man.
And I still, to this day, don't think he was the best choice for it, but Scott Pilgrim kicked ass, so I suppose I can throw Michael Cera a bone or two.
But like I said, I mean, that movie honestly convinced me, and so, like I said, I mean, if I'm willing to watch that movie every day for the rest of my life, because I like it so much, he's got to be doing something, right?
Okay.
Number 9 is another one Justin was a little confused on. But Mike Myers. There are really only two types of movies I watch, you know, comedies and then dramas on occasion, you know. So obviously, comedy department. I mean, the two Mike Myers films that, well, the two, you know, Mike Myers, you know, projects that I probably have watched the most of the last, you know, 25 years of my life are Wayne's World,
yep,
1 and 2, and Austin Powers. Now, with Austin Powers, it's definitely, you know, the first was the best, the second was, you know, also good, not as good as the first one, and the third one was, eh.
Yeah.
And then, what was it? Also, definitely he's had some really bad misses, like The Love Guru.
I was just about to say, like, have you seen The Love Guru? Because I was a big fan of Mike Myers until I saw that movie, and then I was like, I know one movie shouldn't be enough to totally just ruin things for me, but that really just lowered him in my eyes.
It's, you know what it is? It's I dislike The Love Guru. Yes, I have seen it.
I couldn't even finish it.
Yeah, I know. You were saying something.
Oh yeah, I was gonna just say it's like his movies over time have just kind of gotten formulaic, and over time, you know, you got Shrek 3, Shrek 4. And The Love Guru just was like the cherry on the shit cake, you know, it was just like...
Well, the problem is with Shrek, he doesn't have any control over that. DreamWorks says, give us another movie, we want more money.
Yeah.
And he's just like, well, I need a paycheck.
Yeah, it's curious, actually, you point that out, you point out Shrek, it's curious that I would say Mike Myers and Eddie Murphy have had that same sort of thing happen, where Eddie Murphy started his career with some really brilliant roles, and Eddie Murphy movies are a joke, not a funny joke. It is a joke that he's still making movies.
That's actually a really good parallel.
And they're both in Trek.
Yeah. So. Well, I mean, and Mike Myers also is in one of all my favorite movies of all time, and this one would be lower on the list, but it's definitely still one of my favorites. It's So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Yes.
Yeah.
That movie is fucking hilarious. I mean, there are parts of that movie that get, you know, slow after a little while, but he's funny as the main character is Charlie, but the part that really cracks me up is when he plays his own father.
Yes.
The old cranky Scotsman.
Go ahead, go, you stayed your hour.
Heat! Paper! No! Move that metal of yours and get the paper if you can! Hauling that gargantuan cranium about! I'm not kidding, that boy's head's like Sputnik. Spherical but quite pointy in parts. Oh, that was off sides, wasn't it? He's gonna be crying himself to sleep tonight on his huge pillow.
Another parallel between Mike Myers and Eddie Murphy. They've both been in movies where they played like a bunch of the parts.
It's Nutty Professor. Well, and funnily enough, we're gonna get to another actor who does that, but does it well.
All right,
on
then.
My list.
I think I have an idea.
Okay, so number 8. Some people might be shocked that he's this low on my list, but I mean, just you'll understand once I explain it. Harrison Ford.
Where's my family?
Pretty much for that reason. Okay, Harrison Ford, as fanboys would tell you, Harrison Ford is supposedly the greatest actor of our generation.
I mean, he's in three of, like, the greatest nerd, you know,
yes,
things of all time. Like,
yeah.
Star Wars, Indiana Jones, Blade Runner.
Yeah.
Like, nerds would lose their shit
exactly.
over just any one of those,
mind
but put
you,
them all three together.
That's why he's on the list.
He's on the pedestal because
but,
of that.
But, mind you, it's shit like 6 Days, Seven Nights, Firewall.
Yeah.
That's shit why he ain't higher on
Air
the
Force
list.
One.
Air Force One. Air Force One was a shit movie, but I laughed my balls off at it.
It was
but
so all, great.
But, on the other The Fugitive.
Witness.
Fugitive, awesome
another
movie.
Good one. Witness is good. Like I said, it's movies like that. But the only problem is he has one good film, five crap films. One good film, five crap films.
Like Will Smith.
Will Smith has one good film and that's it. That's it. One good film.
Bad Boys?
No. Bad Boys films suck.
7 Pounds is pretty good.
Actually, that was the one I was referring to.
Oh. Okay.
Because that's right. The one he's, you know, actually...
Pursuit of Happiness.
Pursuit of Happiness was good. Pursuit of Happiness was really good.
Yeah, no, that was a really good movie. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'd have to see it before I formulate
And you know what? I'll be honest. I actually really did like the first Men in Black. You know?
Yeah.
When it came out, when I was, you know, younger and watched that, I still like it to this day.
I like that movie more for Tommy Lee Jones and Rip Torn than I like it for Will Smith.
They're not throwing an international kegger down here. They're making a third one.
Yeah, that I don't approve of.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. Anyway. So, yeah. Number seven. This is, to this day, also one of my favorite films. It's another one of the movies that I will watch forever and ever and ever. And this actor is quintessentially known for this role, which is funny because he wasn't even the first pick for it.
I know what you're going to say.
Yeah. Number seven on my list is Michael J. Fox. And the role, obviously, I'm referring to is Marty McFly. The Back to the Future films, quite frankly, took up a very large proportion of my childhood. If I had the money, I'd buy a DeLorean, even though it's a piece of shit.
It is a cultural achievement.
Yeah.
But the film, not the DeLorean.
Well, not only that, it's, you know, he's good in Back to the Future, but then it's like stuff like Spin City. He was originally in like the first couple seasons of Spin City before his Parkinson's became so much of an issue he could not... maintain a steady acting position because of the fact it was becoming so much of a problem. But then he came back, I think it was like 4 or 5 years later, on two or three episodes of Scrubs.
Yeah, but he took his Parkinson's and made it
his
like...
His Parkinson's, yeah. He turned his... He basically used the Parkinson's as a sort of leaping point to play like an OCD character.
Mm-hmm.
A character with extreme obsessive compulsive disorder. And it worked, and you know, actually, you could see like the torment of the fact that he's like that. And I don't know if he was drawing from personal experience because of the fact that, you know, eventually he's gonna, you know, it. But honestly, it was one of the more convincing pieces of acting I've seen on television.
Did you ever see The Frighteners?
Yes, I did.
Yes,
that was a good one.
Love
too.
That movie.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Love that movie. Peter Jackson's. I think it was Peter Jackson's first directing.
I didn't know Peter Jackson.
It wasn't his first, but it was definitely his first known.
I think it was his first U.S. film.
Yeah,
because there was what, like Lovely Dolls or something like that, Lovely Angels,
but that wasn't released in the U.S. I think.
Yeah,
I think it was imported. But now,
just on the Frighteners real fast, dude. That ending scared the crap out of me as a kid.
Yeah,
so, like the gate of hell opens and like they're looking in and. He meets the actual, you know, physical bodies of the ghosts that have been haunting him for a while. They're his buddies.
Yeah.
And like that. Oh, dude. Jake
Busey.
Yeah.
Busey. Oh, my God. Busey is terrifying in that.
Yeah. Got me a score of 50. What the fuck are you still doing here? Shouldn't you be on the set of Starship Troopers, dude?
Like, that movie really pulls the rug out from under you, because it starts out, it's very comical, like, it's not scary.
Yeah.
And then somewhere between the middle and the end, it, like, actually does get a little scary.
It turns, it takes a hard left turn into Mindfuck City.
Yeah.
It really does. All right, number six, Daniel Craig.
Yes.
Daniel Craig, I first saw him in a gem from Matthew Vaughn. It was Layer Cake.
Yeah, you've talked about that.
Oh, such a great movie. You have not seen this movie, you can easily find it anywhere nowadays. Go watch it. A lot of people have lumped it in with movies like Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels and Snatch. And I mean, there's good reason Matthew Vaughn produced those two films and then directed this one. And quite frankly, I can't listen to Ordinary World by Duran Duran anymore without cringing a little bit. There's a scene where literally a man is brutally beaten and then someone dumps a pot of hot tea onto him while this song is playing.
Hot tea.
It's hard to watch.
I'm gonna have to go watch that now, man.
Just tea, thank you.
Just tea, thank you.
Just tea, thank you. Anyway, but yeah, Daniel Craig was awesome as that, and a lot of people disagree with me on this, but I think Daniel Craig sits resolutely as the best Bond ever. Because, let's be honest here, Daniel Craig is the only English-born actor to freaking pull it off.
Yeah, but I mean, you've obviously got the old standby of, Sean Connery.
Sean Connery is good. But Sean Connery is Scottish.
Not English.
And then you got that one guy who was in two of them. He was that Time Lord at the end of Doctor Who. What's his name?
Timothy Dalton.
Yes.
Timothy Dalton is good.
I don't think he's well known as being one of the better Bonds, though.
No.
Roger Moore is pretty well known.
Timothy Dalton only has one good Bond film, and that's The Living Daylights. License to Kill sucks.
Yeah. I would say, probably the sort of common...
His ratio is 50%. Yeah,
I think the sort of common, popular conception of best Bonds, I think it's something like probably Sean Connery, then Daniel Craig,
Connery,
or Roger Moore.
No, probably Roger Moore's lower on the list.
Is he?
Yeah, it's usually most people, from what they tell me, it's Sean Connery. Then it's either a tie between Daniel Craig or Pierce Brosnan. And then
I like Pierce Brosnan.
And then Roger Moore.
He was good at first.
Yeah.
But...
And then Roger Moore, Timothy Dalton, and George Lazenby.
Yeah. No one ever remembers Lazenby.
Well, and the funny thing is, and the funniest thing about that is, Albert Broccoli, the guy, not Albert Broccoli. I don't know if it was Albert Broccoli or Ian Fleming, the author of the books, Ian Fleming, right? Ian Fleming was brought on originally, and he thought that George Lazenby was the perfect look for Bond, and said, get him.
Really?
Yeah. And then, he did one film because he did, in that movie, he did three things that a Bond is not supposed to do.
They're now shooting the new new Bond film.
Yes.
What's it called? I was trying to look up the name for it. No one's really disclosing it, but they did start shooting.
Thank God.
I heard it was something stupid.
I'll
look it up in a
second. I mean, okay, so Daniel Craig is definitely in the top three. My issue with him is that Casino Royale was so amazing, and then Quantum of Solace was as bad as Casino Royale was good. Like, Quantum of Solace was almost unwatchable to me.
You know what? Honestly, it's
almost unwatchable.
It's because they tried to lump them in together, and it doesn't work.
Skyfall.
It's called Skyfall?
Okay. Skyfall.
Okay.
Skyfall and Skyrim.
Interesting. Mm. All right.
But, yeah, so I would say Daniel Craig is definitely my top list. One, because, he's honestly my favorite Bond. Now, like I said, it's a matter of opinion. You want to argue with me, email me at bgmpodcast@gmail.com. All right. And we can have a nice little discussion about it. All right. What? Oh, Sean just had a no face.
Jeffar Burdum's in the new one.
Who? Javier Bardem, isn't it?
Yeah, Javier Bardem.
Holy crap, dude.
Fredo. Yep. Yes.
That should be pretty cool.
Ralph Fiennes.
Is he the villain?
I hope so.
I don't know what he's... It doesn't say where
he's
he is.
He's probably the villain. He's got to be the villain.
Yeah, he's probably the villain.
Anyway.
He's got a pressurized dirt gun in this one.
Moving on.
Yes, but all right. So, yeah, definitely Daniel Craig is up there. Number five. Definitely go, as we go higher on my list, actors are going to get more back into the older films just because I like older movies. This is the way it is. Number five is Richard Attenborough. For most people of our generation, you probably remember Richard Attenborough best for he was the grandfather slash owner of Jurassic Park.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, obviously that was the first time I saw Richard Attenborough, but the movie I probably think of him highest, like I watch most fondly, is I enjoyed his performance most in The Great Escape. And if you haven't seen that movie, what the hell is wrong with you?
Dum 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 dum.
All right, anyway. But
he also directed Gandhi.
Yes, which is another one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Richard Attenborough is probably one of the better actors because A, he's classically trained. B, he's definitely one of the more eloquent British actors. And C, the man was in Jurassic Park, which is just awesome. That's chaos there.
That's chaos, sir. You might want to wash your hands before you eat anything.
Yeah.
dino droppings.
Dino droppings. Dino droppings. All right, but funnily enough, speaking of The Great Escape, it's funny because the next couple of actors were all in that film. There was Richard Attenborough's number 5. Number 4 is Steve McQueen.
Yes.
Three reasons Steve McQueen's on this list. One, Steve McQueen is, like Justin said, he's man's man. Now, like for instance, those who saw The Great Escape, anybody remember that the motorcycle jump at the end? You know, when he's trying to jump into Switzerland to escape the Nazis? Well, a lot of people don't know this, but everyone thinks that that's not Steve McQueen riding the bike jumping it, right? Well, the story behind that is Steve McQueen actually wanted to do that. He wanted to take the bike and he wanted to jump it over all those fences. But United Artists said, no, there's no insurance company that's going to pay, that's going to, you know, if you wreck and break every bone in your body, no insurance company is going to cover that. It's not happening. So basically, he had to get a friend of his who looked a lot like him, but the funny thing is, Steve McQueen actually does a lot of the motorcycle riding in that movie. Like, he's one of the Nazis riding the bikes. He is actually doing the scene where the bike jump. He's doing it up until the point where the jump actually takes place. Because if you watch that movie, it cuts frames to another angle right when the jump happens. That's because that was the only part he couldn't do. So he rode the bike up and down the fences. He did it up over the hills. It's just when the bike hit the jump, that's when he couldn't do it.
Yeah, he did a lot of stunt driving in his movies. Although, interestingly,
yes,
he's well known for doing the majority of the stunt driving in another film with a lot of high-speed chases, which is Bullet.
Bullets.
But it's actually revealed that he didn't by his stuntman, Lauren James. So that's one that he's famous for doing that he didn't actually do.
Yeah,
but,
he's
also in Magnificent Seven.
And see, that's the thing. It was probably the same scenario. He probably wanted to do it, but the company that was financing the picture said no, not happening.
Also, another interesting fact: in 1974, he was the highest paid movie star in the world.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
Yeah.
Because I mean, let's go down the list. He did Magnificent Seven, which was a remake of The Seven Samurai.
Yep.
Which also it was him, Yul Brynner, James.
Was John Wayne in that?
No, John Wayne wasn't in that one. I think James Coburn was in that. No, not James Coburn. James Gardner.
Maybe. You want to hear what his last words were?
Sure.
I did it.
What?
I did it. That's it.
It was James Coburn.
Yeah.
Also, Coburn. Charles Bronson was
funny
in it.
You mentioned that, Justin. Because number 3 on my list is Charles Bronson.
Nice.
All right. Nice segue.
Charles Bronson, also in The Great Escape, he plays probably one of the most defined characters in that movie, and that was Danny the Tunnel King.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he was a man who had dug 17 tunnels to escape a Nazi prison camp, even though the fact that he was claustrophobic. Which I'm like, made me double take. I'm like, wait, what?
That's just really badass.
I was like, yeah, how the fuck does that work? So, not only that, he also starred in one of my favorite films, which is Death Wish.
Yep.
Death Wish, I have a relationship with the Death Wish series.
Yeah. Don't forget about Dirty Dozen too.
Yes, he was also in the Dirty Dozen. Yeah. I think he was only one of the one of the three people who actually made it to the end. It was him, the captain, and then no, Jim Brown died. Jim Brown died dropping the grenades down. Charles Bronson was in the Death Wish films, and to be honest, most, in our opinion here on this show, most of the time, it's if you make a movie and it's successful, and then you make a sequel, okay, fine. If you get to a third one and the third one's not that good, maybe you should stop. Just stop. But in the case of the Death Wish films, they didn't.
Death Wish 4, The Crackdown. Death Wish 5, The Face of Death.
Well, it also they also just got more and more preposterous because his motivation for continuing this vigilanteism.
Yeah, if memory serves correctly, the first film
just became less and less. It just became more murky.
Yeah, in the first film, it made sense. His wife was murdered and his daughter was raped, so he was pissed off.
Yeah,
rightfully so. The second film, his daughter got killed, so he went after the people who did it. The third film kind of is where you start losing it. His war buddy lived in a neighborhood run by a street gang, and quite frankly, if you want to see a film where you're going to be laughing every 5 minutes, go see Death Wish 3, because quite frankly, it is probably one of the most ridiculous films of all time. He basically just, him and some dude are running around the streets of, I think it's San Francisco it's based in. They're running around the streets of San Francisco. He's holding a Browning machine gun at the barrel. He's holding it on the barrel with like a cloth on his hand, so his hand doesn't get burned off. I'm like, how the hell does that work?
Yeah.
Your hand would be burned in 30 seconds. But
yeah, I don't think that flimsy cloth is going to make much of a difference.
I mean, it's sad because I think, what was it? I think The Simpsons made a joke about that. I think they made a joke about it in one of the earlier seasons. It was, now back to Death Wish 5. I wish I were dead.
Yes.
I'm almost positive that was The Simpsons, and quite frankly, I wouldn't have blamed him, because I actually saw a clip from Death Wish 5, and it was pretty bad. But I will admit, Death Wish...
Yeah, there was. It's in the episode A Star Is Burns. There's a fictional advertisement for Death Wish 9 consisting of...
Death Wish 9.
Yeah, consisting of a bedridden Bronson saying, I wish I was dead.
Well, I will admit, there are some funny moments. He comes up with some, like, one of the best one-liners in those films. Like, there was one where he broke into an apartment, and he was, like, looking around for shit, and some giant black dude comes in out of nowhere, and he's like, the fuck are you doing? He's just like... I was making a sandwich. He throws the kitchen door right into his face. And then throws him out a window. But that's completely irrelevant.
All right.
So, next one. This is probably... These two are my favorite actors of all time. So, number two is Alec Guinness.
Yes.
Better known as, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He's our only hope.
Yeah.
For Bridge Over the River Kwai.
Well, he was in Star Wars, Bridge Over the River Kwai. He played Charles the First, which... was probably his best role.
Lawrence of Arabia.
Yes.
Yep. Prince Faisal. Good
movie. Yeah, he was Prince Faisal. And he was also in, he was in Dr. Zhivago.
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. He wasn't really.
He was Lana's brother, I think.
I'm looking.
Is it Lana or Lara? No, it's Lana.
Back checker.
I can look it up.
Yeah.
Dr. Zhivago. Yezgraf. Let me look.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was Lara's brother.
Lana's brother.
But Lara. The funny thing is, it's so sad that the biggest paradox of his acting career.
Alec Guinness was General Zhivago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yevgraf Zhivago.
He was Omar Sharif's brother.
Yeah.
That's right. And then he was Omar Sharif's brother. And then, but the funny thing is, he's one of my favorite actors of all time, but. His career, his acting career, holds the biggest paradox because the role, unfortunately, he's known the best for, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Right. Yeah.
But it's the role that he hated the most.
Yeah.
I mean, he hated the movie. He thought the movie was probably the most intellectually devoid piece of film that he had ever taken part in.
Yeah.
Looking back in hindsight, well, no, not four or anything, but like, yeah.
4, 5, and 6, which was the only ones he actually participated in. But see, here's the thing. He died in 2000, so he probably didn't see episode 1, thank God. But No, but I mean, here's the thing. He's gone on record saying the fact that he hated being Obi-Wan Kenobi because that's all after the 70s, that's all anyone ever coming up to him, that's all they talked about. Star Wars. That's it.
He stated in a 1999 interview, "What I didn't tell Lucas was that I just couldn't go on speaking those bloody awful banal lines. I'd had enough of the mumbo jumbo." And he went on to say that he shriveled up every time Star Wars was mentioned to him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not only that, a lot of people don't know this, but he also made a significant portion of the gate from Star Wars because he was probably the most well-known actor in that movie.
Yeah.
He pretty much retired because of that movie. He never had to act again.
Most of everybody, just with exception of Harrison Ford, didn't really get much work after that again.
Yeah. Well, Mark Hamill went on to be, you know, a voice actor.
The Joker.
Carrie Fisher had some small roles.
You know, the Joker, Hobgoblin, Green Goblin.
But see, here's the thing. Those people didn't get roles because they got pigeonholed in that role. Alec Guinness didn't get any more roles because he fucking retired.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't have to do shit.
I know. Yeah.
That's called winning.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, winning. Basically, you know what? We should make a shirt with Alec Guinness's face and it says winning underneath.
Alec Guinness did win.
All right. But anyway.
Winning.
Yeah. But here's a funny fact that there was an interview with Alec Guinness, and Alec Guinness was talking about who here knows. You guys know who James Dean is, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Funny story is he met James Dean a week before James Dean died.
Okay. Right. Shit.
He was going into a restaurant. The restaurant was busy. James Dean pulls up, right? And he's like, "Hey, you know, I've seen you in a couple of films. Do you want to have dinner with us?" He's like, "Well, they're booked." He's like, "Well, I have a reservation. You can come eat with us." He's like, "Okay."
Who had the reservation?
James Dean.
Okay.
James Dean. So James Dean, you know, shows, like, he walked. He's like, "Hang on, let me show you something before we go inside." Comes around the corner and shows Alec Guinness the car he just bought, right? And Alec Guinness was like, "I don't know, man. I know we've just met, and I don't want to sound weird or anything, but honestly, I think you should sell this car." He's like, "Why?" Like, "Look, this is just me saying this, just because I see nothing but bad things happening to you if you drive. You'll probably end up dying driving this car, right?"
Oh, whoa.
A week later, he dies in a car wreck in that same car.
Holy shit.
Right?
He really is a Jedi Master.
Right. I mean, like, he literally, and he's like, you know, it's just one of those things where he's just like, he felt so bad because he was like, "Sell this thing," you know.
He felt a disturbance in the Force.
Probably. Okay. Oh, that's Alec Guinness, my number two. So now we're to my number one. My number one actor of all time is Peter Sellers. For those of you who don't know who Peter Sellers is, and if you don't, shame on you. Peter Sellers is one of the, if you've ever seen the movie Doctor Strangelove.
Yes.
Peter Sellers played three roles in it, and technically he should have played four. Peter Sellers was the President of the United States. He was the British captain.
Mandrake.
Is Mandrake.
Mandrake.
Mandrake. Group Captain Mandrake.
Yeah. Come here, Mandrake.
And then he was also Dr. Strangelove, the titular character of the film. But what most people don't know is he is actually supposed to play... He was supposed to play the pilot in the film.
Yeah.
It wasn't supposed to go to Slim Pickens like it did. Basically, what happened was a week into the shoot, he got into the cockpit, sprained his ankle.
Yeah.
So he was like, "Look, I can't keep getting in and out of this thing. It's not going to work. My leg is fucked up." So basically, they had to find someone else. And he was like, "Get that guy."
Hey, how y'all doing?
Well, and let's be honest here. I could possibly buy Peter Sellers as a Texan, but I'm glad that they pulled Slim Pickens, because Slim Pickens virtually was one of the reasons.
When he was reading through the contents of the emergency package?
Yep. Yeah. It's great.
Felt gonna have a nice weekend in Vegas with all this stuff.
Well, and that's another thing. That line was dubbed over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people don't know that. That line where he says, after he's read through the entire kit, "Shoot, felt could have a pretty good weekend in Vegas with all that stuff." Right? The line actually is, "Shoot, a fellow could probably have a very good time in Dallas with all that stuff." The reason why they had to dub that line over is because the film was released in 1964, 2 months after JFK got his head blown off in Dallas. And if you actually look at the film, he's still saying Dallas. It just, they dubbed over the audio, so he says Vegas.
Wow.
So on to Peter Sellers.
But Peter Sellers is phenomenal in that film for those reasons. And then honestly, actually, you know what? I'm going to recant the previous statement I made earlier in this top 10 list, I'm actually going to go on record saying Peter Sellers is my favorite James Bond.
What?
Well,
explain yourself.
What is this heresy?
In the original Casino Royale, because there was one before the newest release, that movie was critically deadpan because, quite frankly, it was just making fun of Bond films. That's all it was. Because, I mean, like, there was basically it was David Niven is the actual James Bond, and but they're killing off British agents all over the world. So basically, he basically takes over the British Secret Service and renames every single agent left in the British Secret Service James Bond. So it completely fucks with everybody. They bring in Peter Sellers, who's a professional gambler.
Right.
To play
He's a Lechiffre. Master of Baccarat.
Yeah. Basically, they bring him in to play Lechiffre in the film. But Peter Sellers honestly sold that movie so well that I couldn't give a shit about any of the other characters. I wanted to see Peter Sellers in that movie. And spoiler alert, I've never been put into a more rage-induced frenzy than when Peter Sellers got offed in that movie. Because they end up killing him like 20 minutes before the end. I'm like, motherfuckers!
I mean, he is probably one of the few well-known names in that 1960s.
I got a family to feed!
Orson Welles.
It's Peter Sellers, David Niven, Ursula Andress,
Orson Welles, as Lechiffre.
Woody Allen's in it. Woody Allen was the villain in that movie. Yeah. What?
Which one?
Casino Royale. The original Casino Royale. Woody Allen was the villain.
You're shitting me.
No. If you go back and you watch that film, you will realize where Mike Myers' conception of Dr. Evil came from. It's Woody Allen in that movie. You're
hide your
shitting
daughters.
Me.
Hide your wife.
You know, this...
We gonna find you. We gonna find you.
No, the best part of that film... One of the best parts of that film is... They're putting Woody Allen up in front of a firing squad. He's like, look, I don't know if you know this, but I have extreme allergy to death. My doctor says that I'm not allowed to have bullets anywhere near my body. he actually lines up. He's like, you might have a cigarette. It's like, you know this means... It, like, they're about to shoot him. He's like, you know this means an angry letter to the Times. And he's just like, you know, basically they're about to shoot him, right? He throws the cigarette and the cigarette explodes. And he just jumps over the wall. He's like, so long, suckers. He lands and there's another dude tied to a post.
Yeah.
And there's another firing squad. They shoot him. He's tied to him. But seriously... Watch Casino Royale if you want to see some of the best and worst acting ever. Yeah. But seriously, look up Peter. I mean, Peter Sellers is phenomenal in Casino Royale. He's phenomenal in Doctor Strangelove. The Pink Panther.
Yeah.
And I mean, the good Pink Panther.
I mean, that goes without saying. I mean...
Well, I'm just... Some people don't realize that there were Pink Panther movies before Steve Martin.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That's sad.
Well, yes, it is sad. Well, yeah, I would say out of my top 10 list,
He was also in Lolita.
Really? Yes, he was.
In fact, I think that's where he became, like, that's why they that's got where him his, for Strangelove.
Yeah, that's where his working relationship with Stanley Kubrick started.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that's my top 10 list. Peter Sellers is number one.
He's the king. All right.
That was a good list.
Yeah.
Thank you for presenting that to the class, Colin.
Mm. All right. Well, it's been very informative. Both informative and entertaining.
Hmm.
And so now we're going to, Brian, you're here.
Yes, hi.
I hear you like pie.
Yes, I am a big fan of pie,
good
sir.
Good God, he does.
That was a horrible segue, but I don't know how you go from talking about like something like
I don't know.
Great actors of our times to
And speaking about pie. Peter Sellers, he liked a lot of pie.
Man ate a lot of pie.
But yeah, in that sense, we mean pies and vagina, not pies and pie.
The more pie you eat, the better actor you are.
Well,
so
you know, Peter Sellers did have a lot of problems in his personal life.
Well, yeah, but that's a story for another day.
A lot of pies to fill.
I'm tempted to make a WWF joke here, but
please don't.
Were you gonna quote The Rock?
What? Yeah, The Rock. Yeah, please don't.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no Dwayne Johnson here.
Yeah. Yes. No. All right. No Dwayne here.
Really? The Tooth Fairy? Really?
All right. Anyway. But hey, apparently you like pie.
Yes. I'm a big fan of pie, sir.
I love pie also.
Yes. So I guess this is my top 5 list of
favorite pies.
All right.
Coming in at number five, we have key lime.
Mm. Oh, I love key lime pie.
Yes, sir.
Key lime pie. Mm.
Get that nice, you get a nice graham cracker crust, too. It's just...
Love the key lime.
Tell you what. Coming in at number four, we have us some pecan pie.
Ooh.
Not a big fan of pecan pie.
I'm not either, but that's just because I lived in Georgia, and pecans are fucking everywhere.
Oh, my God, you must have...
Don't you want pecan pie? You want it on your burger?
North Carolina pecan pie is pretty good.
No, I Georgia, mean, no, it's... Pecan pie is good. I'm not saying that.
No.
You know what? Just, you know what?
When it's fucking everywhere. Yeah. Do you want to eat pecan pie?
Colin. Nah.
Dude, we used to have pecans growing in my yard.
You know what
Texas.
They say in Georgia? When pizza's on a pecan pie, you can have pizza anytime.
You've been watching the Bagel Bites commercial? You high? Are you high? Is that what it is?
No. I don't know if they have them up here, but when I was down in North Carolina, because I have grandparents down in North Carolina, they sell these things in grocery stores down there, and they're like these little tin mini pies, and they're pecan pies.
Ugh.
And my dad, I can't eat them, but my
dad
just scarfs them down.
Man. Just no thank you.
And
no,
like thanks. They have this like horrible molasses taste to them. Ugh. Like it's just like you put it in your mouth and you're just going, nah.
They're nasty.
It's like literally, it's like watching a horse try to eat toffee.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
No.
All right, we're on. I believe we're on
number three.
Now? Yeah, number three now. All right, let's go ahead.
I can't
believe
you rated pecan pie higher than key lime pie.
Huh?
I'm sorry, I just can't believe you put pecan pie higher.
It wouldn't
than
even
key
be on
lime
my list.
Pie.
Yeah. Well, what are you?
But it's your list.
At the end of the day, they're still going to taste the same.
I'm never inviting you back to this show. All right.
So
number three,
we're gonna go with cherry.
Okay. All right,
I do like a good cherry pie.
Okay, yeah, I could go with that.
Yes. She's working nights and she's going to school.
All right, stage four is cherry. Stage four. All right, yeah, get all around.
Everybody
here.
Say
right.
Hello to cherry.
She's my cherry pie.
That's what I thought he was referring to.
All right, stage four, cherry.
Anyway, but no, seriously. Slice of cherry pie.
Key limes,
cool
stay straight. Stay straight. Key
cool
limes, stay straight.
Some Cool Whip.
Yes.
Put some Cool Whip on
cool
that.
Whip.
Cool Whip. Cool Whip.
Oh, no.
All right, go ahead.
All right.
Get a hold of yourself, man.
Sorry.
Give me a number two.
Number two is, I can't remember the name of it, but it's that, it's like that wild berry and, what's it called? It's like, it's purple and red.
Loganberry?
Huh?
Loganberry?
I think
Boysenberry?
Boysenberry. It's something like that. It's
blueberry?
Something like that. It's not blueberry.
Gooseberry?
Gooseberry?
Possibly.
We need to name more pies.
Raspberry?
It's probably boysenberry.
It's something weird. It's
Justin's Googling pies.
you might need
Google
to turn
pies.
Your safe images on.
Blackberry pie. Blueberry pie.
Raspberry.
It's...
It's mint, some rhubarb pie?
Rhubarb. There we go.
Rhubarb.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Rhubarb pie is good.
Rhubarb
my,
pie.
One of my professors at school, she made a mean rhubarb pie because she was from the Midwest.
Dude.
She had like this homemade rhubarb pie recipe.
Did you pick up a taste for this when you were in St. Louis?
It's amazing. No, actually.
Yeah, it's popular in the Midwest.
When I was working as a sous chef up at Paletti, and it's not in business anymore, so don't bother looking up for it, but... we used to get these pies in from this woman who would just make them fresh, and she would always bring in cherry, and she would always bring in rhubarb, and it was the best rhubarb I've ever had. And
well, it's probably the only rhubarb you've ever had.
No, not necessarily. I mean, they make them in the freezer aisle. You can buy them in the freezer aisle.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't really count.
It's true, but you know, it's better than nothing.
Fair enough. All right, fair enough. Okay.
All right, and number coming one. In at number one,
da da
da da,
it is a tie between pumpkin pie and Mrs. Lovett's meat pies.
Oh.
What?
Meat pie.
Am I missing out on something?
I don't know if you know about this, but Mrs. Lovett's is meat pies. They're not what you think they are.
What do you mean?
Where's Fluffy? Fluffy.
They're
my cat's missing.
They're people.
Pies are people?
They're people.
I'm vanilla, sorry. People, chocolate. What was the last one? Chocolate.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen Sweeney Todd?
Yes, I have. That's where I got the joke from.
Yeah, way to beat it over the head, Colin.
Every Thanksgiving I have a pumpkin chiffon pie. It's a light and airy pie, but they use Wonder Bread,
for the crust, and it's very flaky. It's nice.
Huh. Well, that's kind of the same as using panko, right? I mean, because it's like the crust, right?
Yeah. It's a little bit different. Yeah. Okay. But it's right. it's pretty good, though. But yeah. Pumpkin pie, all around, good stuff.
I prefer using golden crumb crust, like, you know, like honey, graham cracker crust.
Yeah.
And maybe mince that in with a little bit of Oreo and just make it yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Do we want to all name our favorite pie? Just our number one.
Just name our number one.
My number one would be Boston cream pie.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Handmade or the Little Debbie ones?
Well, handmade.
That's a dumbass question. Handmade or Little Debbie ones?
The Little Debbie ones aren't even pies.
A Longhorn steak or a Big Mac?
Depends on what kind of mood I'm in.
I hate myself.
Yeah, the question, how high am I when I'm eating this?
Longhorns isn't open at 4 in the morning.
Dude, they give me 6 for $2. Awesome.
Okay, Colin, what's your favorite pie?
My favorite pie? It's difficult because I would say it's a tie between, and I hate saying a tie. But in this case, I eat both of them on a regular
pie night. Pie is a serious matter. You can have a tie.
Mine's a tie between key lime pie and pumpkin pie.
Okay.
My Miss American Pie.
I hate that song.
This is a serious discussion, people.
You're going to piss off a lot of people with that one. Because
we're talking about pie.
No, I dislike that song because it's like one of four songs that 106.9 plays.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that and Piano Man and 2 Elton John songs, pretty much.
Went off like a light. Went off like a douche. Another room in the night.
All right, Sean. Sean, what's your favorite pie?
I mentioned it earlier. Pumpkin chiffon.
Okay, you're good. Okay, chiffon. And Ben?
Mine's pumpkin.
All right. Yeah. Pretty overwhelming response for pumpkin pie.
Good news for everyone. You know, Thanksgiving around the corner.
Yeah, is it just that
you've
all got pumpkin pie on the brain?
What?
Oh.
Is it just that you've all got pumpkin pie on the brain since Thanksgiving's so close?
No, kind of, sort of.
I guess if I had to edge out between pumpkin pie and key lime pie, I'd probably choose key lime pie.
All right.
Just because I like the taste of key lime pie.
Key lime pie is pretty badass.
All right, Ben and Sean, do you guys have any stuff for today's show? Or?
Yeah, I have one small thing.
Okay.
Hey, you want to pull it up?
Yeah, I got.
Okay, this is just my top indie game of the week. It will be the indie game Glow Arcade Racer. It's basically a pixelated racing game. You just drive around these little glowing dots.
It's similar to looks like Tron a little bit.
Well, yeah, it has a Tron feel to it.
I wasn't going to say that just because that'd be atypical, but yeah, it does look like Tron.
Yeah, it looks like Tron, but basically you just drive around these little pixelated glowing dots right around a track with your left thumbstick, and you have little kind of like Mario-style like explosion like weapons and stuff like that. It's pretty cool.
So it's like a mix between Mario Kart and Tron.
Yeah. That's a good way to describe it, yeah.
So is it one of those games that's really simple but addicting?
Yeah, it's really simple. It's really addicting. The tracks are awesome, and you can build your own tracks.
Where can you find that?
You can find this actually in the Microsoft Arcade, and I think it's only like 80 Microsoft points. Yeah. Wow. Usually the indie games are actually really, really cheap. Most on average, about 200 for the really good ones.
That's not bad.
And what's it called one more time?
It's called Glow Arcade Racer.
Glow Arcade Racer. All right.
Yeah, it's actually, that's right. It was 80 points.
All right, check it out on Xbox Live Arcade.
Yep. Yeah, it looks like the kind of game until I saw the Xbox Live thing. It looked like a game that would be on the iPad or something like that.
Yeah, you could possibly do it.
Could get it on the iPad. Yeah.
But it's just a really good game. It's also by, what company is it? Oh, yeah, Polar Blue, which they make other good games too. But this is just a fantastic game. I liked it.
All right.
I've been playing it this week, and it's the game to get this week, really.
Besides the one that you have been playing.
Yeah, the other one. I can't say names, but it's...
We can't say names, but if you were anywhere on, you know, Friday...
You know what game it is.
You know what we're talking about.
Yeah. It's the only game that anyone is playing right now.
Probably.
Modern Warfare 3. That is very popular. all the friends on the list are playing Modern Warfare 3.
Okay, so maybe not. So.
Sad.
Hold on, you might have to bleep that out, because I might have said the word when you were talking about Skyfall.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. It's not really.
He can probably bleep it. It's yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's gonna do it for us today.
We got social updates.
Oh yes, we do.
Social networking updates.
I put. Sorry. Hashtag pie. Just for the. I was playing something else completely different before, but like now I just realized, like, how about I just put hashtag pie and read off of Twitter and.
I'm a guest who makes an impact.
Awesome. Key lime. Hashtag pie. Hashtag homemade. Hashtag food porn. Hashtag dessert.
Wait.
What was that last one?
Say, skip back.
Hashtag food porn.
What?
Okay.
So the Food Channel has a Twitter account. So what?
Yeah. And some of these, the pirate the pirate. You my homie. Hope maybe tomorrow you can Skype me up, brother. Hashtag pie wink face.
What?
Wait, what?
What? Oh man, that's interesting.
Wait, Sean, do me a favor. While you're net.
My mom may be a hashtag pie, but I wish she made hashtag brownies instead.
Screw you.
What an ungrateful little bastard.
I know, right?
What? No. We get brownies in here, man.
What? Who would rather have
ungrateful twitnit?
Who would rather have brownies over pie?
A real asshole, that's who.
Pretty much.
Fucking what the hell?
Somebody who doesn't like America.
That's downright un-American.
You don't like pie, you can get out. You can get the fuck out of my country.
You too good for Dr. Berkey?
Sean, do me a favor. I need you to go to... What's the guy's name?
The guy's chips.
Brad.
The guy from the beginning of the show.
We gotta look at Brad's Twitter.
All right, that'll be the last thing we do today.
Yes.
Well, I'm looking it up. Brad's Raw Foods.
While you're looking that up, I'll just give our little end of the show spiel. So check us out at castwaystudios.com. Send us in emails if you want to get on Stump a Star Wars Nerd. Just put Star Wars in the subject line. You can either be a contestant or you can just submit questions.
Yes, and please do it quickly because we only have one more spot for this month's finals.
Yeah. And we do have a t-shirt design for the Stump a Star Wars Nerd t-shirt.
It is up on Facebook if you want to give it a look.
Check it out at facebook.com/BGN podcast. We also have original Boldly Going Nowhere t-shirts that you can get. The only thing is I think the minimum order is 12, right?
The minimum order is 12 at a time, so if you are interested, please email us.
Yeah,
Once we get 12, we will put that order in and we'll get it to you.
Yeah, we'll let everyone know that we're putting in the order.
You might be able to just go ahead and put me down for one of those.
Awesome.
I pulled up at Brad's Raw Chips. That's his Twitter name.
Okay. Do me a favor, Sean.
But I'm gonna do it in the voice of the the guy with the mustache on Family Guy.
Oh no.
Do me a favor.
This guy.
Before you start reading, can you click follow? Because
let's follow Brad's Raw Chips.
We're gonna follow Brad's Raw Chips.
We are now following Brad's Raw Chips.
Fabulous.
It also recommended,
everything is right with the world.
It recommended Alita Love and Healthy Pace.
It's funny because here's the thing.
I'm a raw food chef and yoga instructor.
Anybody who knows us in real life, we go from the spectrum of really, really skinny to really, really fat. The one thing you definitely do not discuss in this group
We need to follow Paula Deen just to even it out.
Paula Deen, tell you what, dang dog.
Paula Deen, Mario Vitale, anyone who makes food that would normally kill you.
Yeah.
God. All right. Anyway,
Follow
Tim Hortons just to even that shit out.
Tim Hortons.
Man vs. Food.
I saw something with Paula Deen where it was just like, all right, now we got this rice done. Go ahead and put a pound of butter in there and stir it around.
What the fuck? So basically the rice is swimming in the butter?
That's pretty much any Paula Deen recipe. Take food, add a pound of butter.
Does it have butter in it?
All right, at Brad's Raw Chips.
Hi, everyone. Dakota Hoda. They kale chips changed my life. I can't help but wonder how many other lives it changed. How many of you watch their show? How many of you going to watch Monday on the Today Show? It's really amazing. Oh, I love these small chips. Any good ideas for the vertical indoor gardening?
Yeah, I actually, Sean, I actually have one idea. for that vertical indoor gardening, take a flamethrower to it.
All right, that's going to do it. Until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
I'm Colin Kakamas.
I'm Sean Holmes.
And I'm Benjamin Price.
And we are boldly going nowhere.
Outro.
Boldly Going Nowhere is a Castwave Studios production. For other shows and more, visit castwavestudios.com. Wow, that sounded great.